Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Jack Sensibar. Jack is a lifelong resident of the village of Catskill and graduated from St. Patrick's High School and Columbia Green Community College. He has worked for several businesses and organisations as a bookkeeper for many years. Jack enjoys playing the guitar, singing at karaoke, local history and model railroading. Further, he has volunteered at the Freightmasters Museum building at historic Catskill Point and is also very active in several lay ministries at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. Jack is a huge country music fan and especially loves the music of Johnny Cash. Jack has recently joined the family at WGXE and will host his own show called Backtracks in Time, which will be aired from 2 until 3 p.m. on the fourth Tuesday of the month. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Andy. Glad to be here tonight.
Ah, it's good to see you, mate. I know we communicated over the last couple of weeks, so it's good to put a name or a face to the name. So,
and a name to the face.
And welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much,
Jack. I'm interested. How did you get into local history?
Well, when I was about 9 years old, I always had an interest in trains, and I was given for my ninth birthday a book called Rip Van Winkle Railroads by William F. Helmer. And it talked about the narrow-gauge railroads that served Catskill in the mountains in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
And when you say narrow-gauge, what does that mean?
It's a 3-foot gauge wide between the two rails. Standard gauge is 4.5 feet.
Okay.
And I started seeing the old pictures of Catskill, not only the pictures of the trains, which I enjoyed, but old pictures of Catskill at the same time, and it kind of perked my interest in that. Later on, as I got older, my dad and I would go to talks by our local late town historian, Betty Larson. And then when the historic Catskill Point opened in 2001 and they put a local history museum in there, the Freightmasters building, I started volunteering immediately.
Yeah.
And I look forward to it every year.
The Catskills really do have a remarkable history.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, so what do you do at the Catskill Point?
Well, we have a manager there, Richard Brooks, Dick Brooks. And I go in, usually maybe on a Saturday afternoon, sometimes a Sunday, just for a couple of hours. And if people are coming in, you never know how many people you'll get. I'll either show them around if they have some questions, ask. Some people like to look around by themselves, self-guided. But I always meet some great people there.
And do you meet people from all around the world and all that?
There are some international ones, mostly from the U.S., people on vacation. Even people who have lived in Catskill or the area for years and don't know that museum is there. Yeah. It's been there for 15 years.
Well, you know, Mike is obviously a history teacher, and I studied history, and I also had the privilege of being the manager of the Pratt Museum in Prattsville for a year or so. And I used to sit in the summer months, and people used to come in, and as you say, predominantly it's all people from America, but and different states, but you do get the odd people coming from around the world, Germany,
oh, yes.
Europe, Spain and all that, and then South America and stuff, and it's really enjoyable to meet other people, get their perspectives of America and get their views in life,
Yes, it is.
Is there anything, Jack, from your study of local history that really surprised you?
A couple of weeks ago, Neva Wartell from here at the station did give me something, an article, actually it was somebody from the library, that found an article called The Midnight Ride of Sybil Ludington. And we're familiar with the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. And this is a young woman who lived with her family on a farm in Putnam County, down below here, who was warning her village residents that the British were coming there, too. So that was...
British, yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Jeez, they're the worst.
I know. Well, let us clarify. The English.
And this was... You said that this was a female?
Yes,
did this minute,
yes.
Right now? So she's
a teenager.
A Paulette Revere.
Yes, you could say that.
Oh, no,
Paula.
Kidding.
Paula Revere.
Paula Revere, yeah.
Now, Jack, Backtracks in Time, the new show that is had one show. It's had
its debut
last week. How did it go? And can you tell us a bit about your show?
It's a show that's dedicated to the local history of mainly Greene County, and the people and places, anything notable people and places, and the Hudson River. And it's just a way I can share my knowledge.
Boy, if you ever get a chance to make your way up the mountain into Windham and Prattsville, Hensonville, I don't know if you're familiar with those areas at all.
Yes,
but they have a really vibrant, interesting history.
Okay.
And the obviously there's the history of the trains going up the mountain. And I think there's a guy, I think his last name is Mann. He's written a couple, Ham. Is it John Ham?
Probably John Ham, yes.
He's written a few books on the mountain. And I actually saw a documentary, and it was made in, along with him. I think he wrote some of it. And it was all about that, the trains. And obviously there's the train, the old train that people can go on in, what's it called, Phoenicia.
Yes.
You know, which was decimated by Irene, but they rebuilt it back and all that. And that's something to behold. I've actually been on that train. It was really enjoyable. I was also on a train in Essex. Was it Connecticut?
Yes, I think I know which. I've never been there, but I know what you're talking about.
It was great. And it's the first and only time I've ever done this, Mike, right? Because you know I'm Scottish and Scottish people are tight.
Sure.
And I'm a little bit tight. Uh-huh. And so me and my girlfriend Julia were in Essex to this railway, and it was a cruise on the train, you know. And I went up and I said, "How much is it?" And they said, $12 each. I said, "Right, okay." I said, "What's that carriage there?" And it was all these swiveling easy chairs. I said, "That's first class."
Oh.
I said, "How much is it for first class?" He said, $24. And I was like, "You know what? We're going first class."
Ooh,
so
fancy,
I took Julia
fancy.
First class, and we were on these chairs, and we got a beer, and we were swiveling in these chairs, and we were in there, and I felt elite.
Yeah.
You know, it was great.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Sounds like a great time.
Actually, you would love it.
I would.
You should go there. It was great.
Yeah, cool. That wouldn't be too far. I could work
maybe,
out something
you know,
like that.
I was just about to say, maybe you could go there and you could start a karaoke night on the train, because I know you love karaoke.
Yes,
tell us a bit about your karaoke.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been doing that since about 2009. I met a new friend that year at one of the outdoor concert, and who started doing karaoke herself a few months later, and asked me to come one night if I just thought I might be interested. I said, okay, I'll go and listen. There's no way you're going to get me up there and do that. No way on earth. And I didn't the first night. Over a couple of months, this guy was doing it once a month nearby. But the third time I was there, I decided, all right, I have to do this. Figuring if I fall flat on my face and make a fool of myself, I don't have to show up there again. Because the one time I went and my friend wasn't with me, I kept wanting to get up and put a song slip into the DJ. And I couldn't quite get my rear end out of the chair. And with no moral support from a friend there, and with a bunch of strangers, I didn't know the regulars at the time. So I kicked myself all the way home and told myself, that's it. When the next one comes, I'm going to do a song, and so be it.
What did you sing?
A Johnny Cash song, big surprise there, called A Boy Named Sue.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because I figured it was mostly talking, so I didn't have to worry about singing, and it's funny.
Wow,
and
good thinking.
It went very well. Nobody threw their dinner at me, so that was good.
Excellent. Excellent.
And then, so I always have to watch when I say, I'll never do that. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you know, I mean, that takes a lot of courage to get up there. And obviously, it was courageous for you to go up. So, well done.
Thank you.
Because that's obviously something you now enjoy.
I do. I've met a lot of nice people, the regulars at different places I go. And I've got a nice group of friends and acquaintances now from it.
This time next year, might have been a band. You know, maybe
Yeah.
Mountain Jam or something like that. Now, talking of Johnny Cash.
Oh, yes.
Your first song is a Johnny Cash song.
Yes, it is.
Which one is it?
And we're going to do here, I Walk the Line.
I Walk the Line. What makes you pick that song? Daft question, possibly, but...
Well, it's probably his biggest hit, his signature song, as they call it.
Yep.
And just the messaging it, about being true to somebody and true to your word, no matter what, and doing anything for somebody.
Now, Johnny Cash, also known as the Man in Black.
Yes.
I'm a big country and western fan as well.
Okay.
I'm particularly fond of Willie Nelson.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if I wanted to ask you this on the way up. Have you ever listened to Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson Storytellers?
Yes. Friends gave me a CD of that for my birthday a couple of years ago.
I mean, it's fantastic, isn't it?
It is. Just
there's
the two of them.
There's one part in it, Mike, where the two of them are sitting and there's a kind of lull. And, I'll try and do an impression of them. Willie Nelson looks around and he's like, and he looks at the tape, small table with the drinks on it, the refreshments, and he says, okay, we've got water, coffee, and hot chocolate. What's this going to do to our image?
I love it.
So I got a laugh. And then Johnny Cash says, as long as we keep wearing black, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And Johnny Cash is one of those guys, he's a gentleman, really.
Yes,
and the reason he wears black is because, you know, he wants to have an affinity with the downtrodden. And in that concert, in that gig with Willie Nelson was playing a song and he snapped a string in his guitar.
Yeah.
And he borrowed Johnny Cash's guitar.
Wow.
And as soon as Willie Nelson started playing it, Johnny Cash says, wow, that's the first time that guitar's been played. And, you know, he's just this guy who's, he doesn't really, he's not got an ego, you know?
Yeah.
And really, really will be missed.
He was a very, very humble man for all his success.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. That was Johnny Cash, Walk the Line. Now, Jack.
Yes.
Did you know that once while performing that song, I Walk the Line, Johnny Cash told the audience with a smile, people ask me why I always hum when I sing this song. It's to get my pitch, he said. The humming was necessary since the song required Cash to change keys several times while singing it. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, actually.
This guy's an aficionado.
Yeah.
I'm Johnny.
Yes.
No, I'll try and trump you with one then.
Oh, boy.
So
my friends will never let me hear the end of it.
Well, I was doing a wee bit of research, and I'm going to finish on this. Johnny Cash realised after doing a bit of soul searching and research that he was mostly of Scottish and English ancestry, and as an adult traced his surname to the 11th century Fife, Scotland, after meeting with the then Laird of Falkirk, Fife Major Michael Crichton Stewart. Cash, Lock and other locations in Fife bear the name of his family. Did you know that?
I knew he had Scottish descent, but I didn't know all of that.
See, all the Scottish guys are talented. You know what I mean?
Inventing calculus, playing music. You think you're so great.
Television, light bulbs, penicillin. The list goes on.
You know, I read that Les Paul was in a car accident in 1948 and asked the doctor to set his arm permanently in a guitar-playing position.
Oh.
And, you know, Johnny Cash, a guitar player, Les Paul, one of the items you want to bring to Cabin of the Catskills is a guitar.
Yes.
What kind of guitar and what kind of music will you be playing?
It would regular just acoustic guitar and probably a lot of, well, gee, take a guess as to who we just heard, and a lot of the old country music. I just love it. And
so if you could watch a concert tomorrow night of anybody other than Johnny Cash, who would it be?
Other than him. I think. Probably Willie would be the next one.
Willie
Nelson, yeah. Trying to think, a lot of the legends now we're losing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
George Jones,
Merle Haggard a couple months ago. Yep. And not too many left.
Yeah, I know. It's just yeah. Sad. And do you like the Highwaymen?
Yes.
I mean, Chris Christopherson and stuff like that.
And Waylon Jennings.
Waylon Jennings. Just a couple of boys.
Yeah, I saw the Highwaymen in concert one time back in 93.
You're kidding me on.
Up at the, well, it was then called the Knickerbocker Arena, but now it's the Times Union Center.
And was there four of them?
It was the four of them, so I was in my glory.
I would have been in tears, man.
Yeah.
Mike doesn't know what we're talking about.
Not really. I'm hearing a lot of words. They sound English.
Scottish.
You know, but I'm hanging on.
Yeah, you're hanging in there, Mike.
Doing good.
I'll educate you later, right? I'll show you a Highwayman tour on YouTube.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, sounds good.
Excellent. All right, mate, let's move on.
Okay.
Your next item is a Bible.
Yeah, yes.
Now, I'm not going to ask you the daft question, what do you need a Bible for? But what do you need a Bible for?
Well, I mean, my faith is very important to me, and as Catholic and Christian, and something I do try to read a little bit each night. And I think if I was up in the, especially up in a cabin, up in the Catskills, with all that natural beauty around, it would be very appropriate.
Yeah.
Like God's right. Beauty.
You a guy who likes the silence?
Yes.
Right.
I don't mind being alone and having some peace and quiet.
Right, okay. Because up there in the, you know, in the dead of night, you do hear things.
Sure.
Owls,
you do.
Coyotes, you know, other animals and stuff like that. Would that freak you out? There are known, there also are some people with masks and chainsaws and stuff like that.
Well, now you'll never get me up there. I think it would probably startle me at first until I got used to it and then did some reading or playing or something to get my mind off of it so I couldn't hear it.
I mean, a lot of people take a Bible, don't they, Mike?
Yes, it is a common object. And, it's taken, common item.
And I think it does give a lot of people some peace of mind, you know?
Yes, it does.
Well, and I think being in a cabin in the wilderness in the Catskills, which is picturesque and, you know, I think it is probably a religious experience. It's soothing and especially if you're alone and it's quiet and you can be with nature. That's my experience anyway. Anytime I go out backpacking in the Catskills or get to spend some time outside, it's you know, gorgeous sunsets and sunrises and the wildlife and the landscape. It's amazing. And, you know, bust out your Bible and start reading about it.
You know, and it is inspirational, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you guys know who the oldest person is in the Bible?
I'm going to say, oh boy, Moses?
Oh, you're so close. It does start with an M.
I'll give you one then. Mark.
No, but a good guess. He's an M name.
Thanks, Hector, soothing me there, Mike.
Good job.
Yeah. Get partial credit for that.
Good guy, good choice, Andy.
It's Methuselah.
Oh.
He's credited as being...
Wait. Did you say close, Andy?
Well, because it's an M name, and which is good, you know.
Which
you,
is why I said Mark.
But you had to sift through the files up there in your cranium to figure, you know, M names in the Bible. You know, you couldn't go with Marge or Marty, you know. So I don't know. I think it was a good. Anyways, it's Methuselah. He's okay. Credited as being the oldest person to have ever lived, dying at the age of 969 years. But it is thought that this is a mistranslation and that he was actually 969 lunar months old, which is 78.5 years, which in our current understanding of human physiology and longevity
is more realistic.
Is more, yeah, probably definitely around 80 years old. And in the early Judaic tribes used lunar months to gauge time. So probably a mistranslation. Dude lived to be about 80.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I remember looking at I was at a castle. I think I was in either England or Scotland. And you're going back to like the 1500s and 1400s. And most people back then died what we'd now regard as being very young. 40s, yeah. You know, 40s being old. Mm. But there were still people who lived to a right good age.
Oh, definitely.
Know, 80, 90 and stuff.
It's
like
amazing.
That. Yeah.
You know, Puritan New England, living in the wilderness, I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
People were rugged. They were hard, hard surviving folks.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah. Not anymore. I get a cold and I'm like, oh, man down. This is it. This is the big one.
I'm glad 40s isn't considered the life expectancy now because I might not make it to the end of the show.
Well, I'm following right behind you. You know, I was doing some reading about the Bible.
Yes.
And I learned about a kind of version of the Bible called the Heliand. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And that's actually an epic poem in Old Saxon written in the first half of the 9th century. And the title means Savior in Old Saxon. And it's basically a Germanic epic poem based on the Bible. And at that time, the Catholic Church was trying to spread Christianity throughout Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Germanic pagan tribes weren't interested. And Germans at that time were very warlike. And they valued warfare and toughness, and the idea of a loving Savior who sacrifices himself to save people was not appealing, and it wasn't taking very well.
Yeah.
And so this epic was written, this German epic about this warrior Jesus and his warrior followers and how he was betrayed by this traitor Judas, and that was far more appealing to the population in Germany. And they believe that it's possibly this Heliand that ultimately led to the rise of the knight in court system of medieval Europe.
Wow.
And
are there, like, published copies that one can buy?
There are, yes. It's right. They have some old surviving texts, and it's been translated. So.
Have you ever seen the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Online, yeah.
I've actually saw them in person.
In person? Really? No,
yes.
Where was that?
In Glasgow.
Wow.
Yeah, they were on exhibit in the Glasgow Museum. The Kelvin Grove Museum.
Yeah.
And I went to see them. And yeah, it was great.
I've read that they are remarkably close or like exact to our current translation of the Bible. I believe that's correct.
To be honest with you, if I said yes to that, I'd be like making that up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which is, you know, it's impressive because, you know, you have this book being copied by hand over the course of 2,000 years, and for it to have maintained its meaning and its translation, it's really impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to see that someday.
Yeah.
Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
Very interesting.
So there you are.
You know, we're talking about the Catskills and the Bible. Your next song, Jack, is How Great Thou Art.
Yes. Well, talking about, you know, nature and looking at creation and everything, a song like How Great Thou Art, one of the verses talks about it. It's just basically praising God for his creation, and not only for creation but for his saving work, and he just helps us every day in our lives.
The worlds thy hands have made.
That was How Great Thou Art by Carrie Underwood. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Our guest today is Jack Sensenbaugh, who is a lot of things, but one of those things is a Freightmasters volunteer at the Freightmasters Museum in Catskill Point. He's also a karaoke singer and a model railroading enthusiast.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Your next item is a board game.
That's correct.
What board game is that?
Well, you know, when I made this list, I guess I didn't think this all the way through because I guessed Monopoly because it.
Well, that was my next thing I was going to mention.
Yeah.
You can only play Monopoly with two people.
A few nights ago, I was on the phone with a friend of mine, in fact, the one who got me into karaoke, and I mentioned I was doing this, and I told her these answers that I had. She brought up, and I said, oh, that did not even occur to me when I wrote the list. So I really don't have a defense for that, except...
Is this now the point in time that you have to tell us that you have a split personality?
Yes. Yes.
And you're going to play each other.
Yes, and I'd probably still lose. That's the sad part.
Yeah. So. Now, is Monopoly one of your favorite games?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Monopoly, which was created by... Do you know who it was created by? You seem to be one of those aficionados of everything.
I'm trying to think. I can't remember his first name, but I think he was a lawyer. His name Darrow.
Wow, you got to be on Jeopardy.
During the...
Charles Darrow.
Charles Darrow.
Right. Now, I'm going to question you now. I'm going to quiz you on this
now. Okay, go for
it. Okay. How many... can you name the 10 original metal tokens?
The 10 original metal. All right. Hat, dog, car, iron, horse.
Horse, you've got horse, you've got hat.
Horse,
hat. What else did you say? Dog?
Yeah. Dog.
There's no dog.
Oh, there's a later one then. Automobile.
Race car. Want me to give the rest?
Yes.
An iron, a purse, a lantern, race car, thimble, shoe, top hat, give you the hat, battleship, cannon, and a rocking horse.
Oh, so there's a few I didn't. So there you know, those were the originals.
Now, I'm not finished with a quiz here. Hold on.
Okay.
What was the current classic Monopoly tokens? There's 8 of them.
The current classic.
I'll go through
Monopoly.
The ones you got, right?
Okay.
The top hat, the Scotty dog, the race car.
Top hat, dog, race car.
The other ones.
Iron, horse.
God. I can see people driving in their car going, The wheelbarrow! The thimble!
And the sad part is you just said them about a minute ago.
And the boot.
And the boot.
And the cat.
I don't know if I've ever seen a cat in a Monopoly game.
I don't know if I've seen it either. Now, what are the... I'm going to ask the two of you this.
All right. Okay.
The three most landed properties in a classic Monopoly game are...
The most landed...
I'm going to guess maybe Baltic Avenue?
Nope.
This is where you have to
Park
go.
Place.
Nope. Going to give you two more guesses, one each.
Okay.
Three places, remember.
Vermont Avenue?
Nope.
B&O Railroad.
Yes.
Bam! Shot in the dark.
One more shot.
The other two are Illinois Avenue and Go.
And go.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Everybody starts there.
Right, and the final question. The world's most expensive Monopoly set was created in 1998. How much did it cost?
Let's see.
I cheated. I looked that up. I already know that.
Shouldn't say that, Mike. You could have guessed and looked really intelligent.
Ask me something hard like the guy that made it.
I was probably celebrating some anniversary of the game.
Come on, Jack. Give
us
a price.
I'm going to guess a million.
Oh, close. 2 million.
Yeah. Oh.
Right. It was created by Mike?
Jeweler Sydney Mobile.
Did you look that up or did you just know it?
I looked it up.
You see, just quite say, I just knew it.
Oh, I just knew that. I'm a genius and remember everything. If I ever seem like I don't know something, it's because I don't want other people to be...
I remember playing that Monopoly as a kid, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously it was the British version, right? So I saw different streets and stuff like that. And I landed on go to jail, and it was like $50 to get out. And it was this guy, this adult playing with me. He's like, I've got a get out of free jail card. Do you want to buy it from me? And I was like, how much? And he's like, 100. And I was like,
okay.
That hey, doesn't sound good. Like, I don't think you made a good deal there.
Oh, dear. But it's, it's one of those games that, you know, nowadays a lot of people don't play it because a lot of people are addicted to their phones and electronics and all that.
Yes.
But actually, see, once you sit down and play it, it's a great game.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a lot of fun.
It's fantastic.
You know, the longest game of Monopoly, well, I'll ask you guys, how long do you think the longest game lasted?
Maybe 5 years?
That would be intense. That would be one epic
five
game of Monopoly.
Years?
Well, I'm just thinking it has to be something really outstanding. So
it's not that impressive. It's 70 days,
which is
impressive, but not like 5 years.
Is that 70 days constantly?
Yes.
It's like seven full on?
Full on.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I'd be sick of it at that point.
Yeah.
Wow.
So my opponent's, okay, you win. I give up.
That's a lot of Monopoly. Your next song
is
Hey Good Lookin', Hank Williams.
Yes.
Why Hank Williams?
Well, he's one of the real, I guess you could say pioneers, legends of country music. And I like, as I said, I like the classic country better than anything that's on nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
I stick to the old songs as karaoke. And it just has that great beat to it. Hank sounds good in it. It's a fun song. And just love to hear his backup band, the Drifting Cowboys.
You know, I tried to do some reading about Hank Williams and find some fun facts. And I really just found that the guy was really tragic.
Yes, he
and
was.
It's hard to find anything kind of aside from his musical talent and his legacy. You know, born with spina bifida, just chronic pain, and drove him to alcoholism and a variety of drugs, and it killed him at 29, which may, they say, have contributed to his legacy. And which is kind of fascinating.
Kind of like Patsy Cline dying in a plane crash.
Sure. Or even John Denver.
I was just going to say, that brings us on to...
Perfect segue.
Too soon.
Yes.
Yeah, too
coming
soon.
Coming up soon. So, yeah, really too bad. When did you first hear Hank Williams? Do you remember?
I was probably in my teens by the time I got more involved in the country music. And so a friend of mine, Richard Graff, gave me a tape of his for one of my birthdays. I think I was 16 or 17. And it has a lot of his classics on there, and that's one of them. And, in fact, it's the second song I ever did at karaoke that very first night.
Wow.
After I had done Boy Named Sue, I decided, all right, now I'm not going to just leave. I want to do another one now. So you put the microphone in front of me, you're in trouble.
So he did one, and then you couldn't get the mic off him.
Yep.
You know, it was up all night. Yep. Well, that's
almost
great. I mean, what I was going to ask you before we move on to the song,
yes.
I think there's a country music festival next week in the mountain.
Taste of Country, it's called, up in Hunter.
Is it all kind of new wave?
Yes.
Staying away then, I
Yeah,
take
it's
it.
Not my cup of tea.
Yeah,
In the 80s and 90s, they used to have some great country music festivals up there, and that was more my speed.
When I'm in my work and I'm doing work, and I stick on the headphones and the YouTube, and I listen to a lot of country. Waylon Jennings, Chris Christopherson, George Jones, Willie Nelson.
More like Americana folk music.
Yeah, brilliant. Especially Chris Christopherson. He's written some fantastic songs.
Yes.
Sunday Morning Coming Down. What a song.
And Bobby McGee helped me make it through the night for the good times.
It's just phenomenal. See, a lot of the songs that are just classics just pop up and you go, oh, was that him? Was that him? Just, or her. It's just fantastic stuff.
Time for me. Hey, troubling me. I'm gonna chuck my Facebook over the fence and buy me one for 5 or 10 cents. I'll keep it till it's covered with age. All I'm writing your name down on every page. Say, hey, good looking. What you got cooking?
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. That was Hey Good Lookin' by Hank Williams. And today in the studio we have Jack Sensabaugh. Good old timey kind of country folksy music tonight, huh?
Yeah, it was great.
That's the kind I love.
You mentioned there was a line in the song that you really liked there, Jack.
Yes.
Which one was it?
In the beginning of the second verse when he says, no more looking, I know I've been tookin'. Only in country music could you get that kind of a rhyme. It reminds me, there's a song of Loretta Lynn's, Coal Miner's Daughter. And only with her thick Kentucky accent could she get away with this. The work we done was hard. At night we'd sleep because we were tarred. Hard and tired, right? Yeah. For her, they rhyme. I love it.
You're right, though. You're right. You know, that's one characteristic of country music. They do make things fit in terms of rhyming, you know.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Jack, I wanted to ask you about you're into model railroading.
Yes, I am.
You have model railroads.
Yes, I have an HO scale layout. That's about, my HO scale is about 1/87th the size of the real thing. So if you took, for example, a locomotive, take 87 HO ones, string them together, it'd be as long as one real one.
Cool.
Yeah. So could you... Where is it in your house?
It's in the basement.
Do you have it on like a table? Or?
Yes, on a table in the basement. Yeah. And I've had it since about I was 8 years old. It's gone through several incarnations.
Yeah.
But I got it for Christmas when I was 8 years old. And but one of the best, most memorable presents I can remember getting.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike.
I have a buddy who's a train enthusiast, mm-hmm. and he just built a house within the past couple of years, and he had it specially built to have tunnels and things that would allow for this train, which travels all around his house. He sent me a video, and it was really, really cool. And I just saw a video on YouTube last week of these people put a GoPro on a train, and it goes all over the house, outside, through the yard, back in. I don't know how it must have taken days to set this thing up. I mean, like through the grass, they had to modify their landscaping, it seems. They are intense train folk.
Yeah, a few years ago, I went to visit my friend Mary and Greg in Rochester, and we went to their friend's. Well, we're going for something to eat,
mm-hmm.
and we went to their friend's house, who used to be their next door neighbor, and who I know, and you know. The guy took me downstairs because he had a train set up, and he's kind of got it set up for his kids.
Yeah.
But he bought the train set, and I was fascinated. I was like, really, going to give me a shot?
Yeah.
So he let me play with it, you know, turn it on and turn it off. And I can see how you can get gripped and want to make it more elaborate and, you know, create different train lines and get involved in getting the figurines of the guards and stuff like that, and the countryside, and you know, I build sometimes, especially in the dead of winter, I build like classic cars models.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this store called Hobby Lobby that I go into, as a hobby shop or something, and the guy's great in it, and you go in and I could stay in there for 10 hours or so, just walking about looking at all these things, you know.
Yeah.
The latest things are these. What do you call these hovering things? The drones. Drones nowadays.
Yeah.
And then there's the helicopters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can never get away from the majesty and the intrigue of the train set.
Yes, something about that.
So now, can I just ask, this might be verging on personal, but do you like go down and play with it as a stress reliever, or just because do you go home at night and go, you know what, I'm going to be doing and play with my trains?
I run the layout fairly regularly.
Yes.
And it is a stress reliever, as long as everything's running well. Is there, sometimes it doesn't, then I kind of defeats the purpose.
Is there like a train item that you have in mind, like in a catalog, a particular engine or a landscaping feature or a track, anything that you got coming up, or are you pretty satisfied with the track you have right
I'm
now?
I'm satisfied with the layout. Back in the mid-80s, my dad and I tried to rebuild it, and we just, something would go on, gung-ho for a few months, and then something would go wrong, and it would put us back. I guess you could say we got sidetracked. Huh. And sorry, I warned my listeners about my corny humor. So
yeah. Sidetracked. Oh, yeah.
I just got it. Oh.
Sidetracked.
Sidetracked or derailed. Dear. But
I'm like, why? What happened? It didn't go right. What? Oh wait, track.
But anyway, then after,
I'm surprised one of his songs isn't the Tracks of My Tears.
Oh yeah.
Sorry. But my dad and I had tried to reconstruct it, you know, rebuild it at one point, and it just wasn't going well, you know, something would go wrong, we'd start again. Then eventually after he passed away, he just kind of sat there for a while. And I decided, well, I either have to get rid of it or finish it off myself. Of course, I didn't have the heart to get rid of it. So it took several more years, and I did finish it to where I can call it complete. There's always little things I can add and, you know, modify. But
now, see, if you spend money upgrading it, do you have to put the fare prices up?
Yes, I do. I have to get my money back. Come on.
This is a passenger announcement. The train from the living room to the bathroom has been cancelled.
Hundreds of tiny voices.
Ah.
So you're obviously into trains now. Do you ever think about going on a vacation on like the Trans-Siberian or the Alaskan Trail or the Orient Express or something like that?
Not like the Trans-Siberian or Orient. I mean, I see some of those just like the Amtrak commercials right here in the country, and you see some of those like out west or something where they travel through this beautiful scenery. It looks beautiful. That I could do.
Have you not done any yet? No?
No, I have not. I've been on Amtrak actually once in my life, and that was for a business thing.
There is an Adirondack Railway, and I was actually just hiking on it last weekend. It leaves out Old Forge, I think. It looks like it might be a really cool thing to try out.
Yeah, and it's great, and you can do it in the summer. The winter with the snow and all that. Mm-hmm. You actually do like Santa runs and all that.
Yeah, I heard they have like a Polar Express ride. Oh, nice. The kids have to wear pajamas. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, cool. We'll not go there. Nice. But anyway, and I think at the end they meet Santa and stuff like that.
Boy, that'd be cool. If I was a kid, I'd be like, I want to go.
Right. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Right, so the next item you want to bring with you is your journal.
Yes. I think just to write down any thoughts or maybe, I don't know how many memories you have of being in a cabin by yourself, but
today I lost at Monopoly.
and also won.
Yes, I was playing it by myself, so that makes it really bad. Next time I have to think before I answer these questions.
Two journals, you know. Today I lost. Today I won.
It was a so-so day.
I mean, you never know what thoughts will come to your head. And it's like the... Yeah, jot things down. Sometimes thoughts don't stay long in my head either.
Now, have you been keeping a journal for a long time, or is that something you would just like to do maybe for this weekend excursion?
I did it for quite a while. It was about maybe in junior high. About maybe 10 years ago or so, I kind of faded out. But I used it when my folks and I would go on vacations.
Nice.
And road trips.
Those are the type of memories you probably are going to want to keep.
Yes, you met this person in this restaurant or in this shop or on the road. And excuse me.
Junior high memories, I don't know if I'd want those. But vacations, sure.
Yes, the vacations were good.
Yeah.
We took some nice road trips down to Nashville and to the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
Did you fly a lot? Did you drive on vacation?
We drove. I have never flown in my life.
Oh.
You serious?
I'm dead serious, and I really don't have the desire to.
Wow, that's interesting.
So our last song, Country Roads by John Denver, you can relate to that because you're not taking a plane home.
Nope. No. I enjoy driving. I've taken some road trips myself up to Maine and things like that to visit family. I enjoy the driving part of the trip as much as the destination.
Wow.
Being in the car on the slower roads, I don't care about the interstate. I could probably get up to Maine in 6 hours. The way I go, it takes me almost 2 full days of driving.
Oh, okay.
But as on slower roads, where it's more scenic, I can play music in the car, you know, listen to music.
Yeah.
And just enjoy it. And that's relaxing to me, as well as, you know, seeing family or wherever destination I'm going.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just went to New Hampshire recently, and the interstate driving can be a challenge. I'm looking forward to self-driving cars.
I'm no.
You get in, you press your button, beep, gone.
Sorry, I'm no interested.
Or self-driving drone helicopters. You get in, push a button, it flies you direct to wherever you need to go. That's going to be some sweet action. I'm looking forward to that.
Sorry, I'm no interested.
How come?
Because there's no way I'm going to rely and put my trust and my life in the hands of a computer.
I'm with you there, Andy.
Thank you.
Computers I have a love-hate relationship with. I love them when they do what I want, and when they don't, I want to throw them into the street. I hate them.
Hi, this is your virtual pilot. The computer has crashed. You're all...
You sound kind of like the taxi in Total Recall. Buckle up. Yeah.
So what song is it we're playing here?
Country Roads.
Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Yes.
Now, I've got some interesting information about this song. It was written by Bill Danoff, Taffy Nevert, and John Denver, right? But here's the thing, right? They were actually, these two guys were actually going to, I'll read it to you.
Okay.
Danoff and Nevert told him that the song they'd been working on for about a month, originally they planned to sell the song to popular country singer Johnny Cash.
Boom. Oh, my gosh.
But when Denver heard the song, he decided he had to have it. So they all spent the night working on the lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. So there you are. I just thought I'd...
Wow.
I thought that was interesting.
I think, you know, it's fate. It's a Denver song. Because Cash is, you know, dark and kind of gloomy. And imagine Cash singing Country Roads. It would be maybe it would just become a completely different thing and it would still work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm trying to imagine in my mind how it would sound with him doing it.
You know?
Well, it's funny you should say, you know, it's a Denver thing. The song was when it was written, penned by Bill Danoff or Taffy Nevert, when composing it, in his mind, he was listening to it, and he briefly considered. Now, this song, by the way, is known as the theme song to West Virginia. It's their song, right? And it is now considered to be the state song.
Yeah,
right. But when he was writing it, he briefly considered using Massachusetts rather than West Virginia.
Massachusetts.
Right?
Oh,
both
Massachusetts.
Both are four syllables, mm-hmm. right? And state names, and they would fit to the song's meter.
Ah.
Okay.
So they could have used any state, but West Virginia got it. And that works too.
Massachusetts.
Country. Would have had to change the rest of the lyrics too.
All the lobster and the chowder.
I love it.
So, be interesting fact.
Yes, that's great.
So now I kind of want to hear Country Roads and like a Boston getting the car kind of. How would that sound? Yeah.
Whitey Bulger, take me home. Boston Red Sox.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place. Teardrop in my eye, country roads, take me.
that was the great and very sadly missed John Denver singing Country Road, Take Me Home. Now, we were talking there about how he died, sadly, and we all agree that it was in a light aircraft crash. But when I was reading about it today, what one of the things that caused him to crash was a design fault with the fuel valves for the... Okay. There was two tanks.
Yeah.
One was quarter fill and one was half fill, and he had to... Usually the switch to switch to the other tank was usually positioned to the front of the pilot, near to an arm's length. But the design fault in this one was it was directly behind him.
Oh, no.
So he had to do a complete 90 turn to actually try and... Jeez. So he either did that and lost control of the plane, or he decided, I've got enough gas, I'll get there, and didn't.
Oh, no. Oh.
So that was one. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that there's some more technical things involved in what I just said there. That's just a synopsis. But that was one of the things that was caused them problems in the plane. And I think what happened was the plane took a sharp nosedive and then he lost control of it.
Yep. I see. Yeah, there was a shock.
So, sad. Yes. Anyway, now we've reached the end of our show, Jack. Yes. And it's been great talking to you about a lot of the things that you do and, you know, your songs and getting to know you in general. Before we go, I would like to, on behalf of myself and Mike, wish you all the best with your new show.
Thank you very much.
Hope it goes well. And we'll be listening in, won't we, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Local history. I'm all about it.
Do you just want to give the listeners a quick plug when it is?
Yes. It's called Backtracks in Time. And the next broadcast will be on Tuesday, June 28th from 2 to 3 p.m.
Great.
And it's going to air the fourth Tuesday of every month.
Right. Excellent. Now, before we go, we've got one more question for you.
Okay. Go for
and
it.
And it is, Mike.
Jack, how do you take your coffee?
Milk and sugar.
What kind of coffee, though?
Any brand. I'm very cheap. I get the Great Value Walmart brand.
Oh. That's a disgrace to coffee, isn't it?
Decaf, no less.
It's an affront to coffee drinking.
You know, in a pinch, it'll work.
It does.
Jack, thanks very much for coming.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. Enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jack Sensabaugh, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC. Thanks.